Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the internet. And this is your host, Allison, and thanks again for tuning into my show this evening. I'm happy that you're all here, and I know that there's a lot of you because I've been getting a lot of emails today. You know, some days I've got the coolest job in the world, and this day is one of them. My guest this evening is Lisa Williams, and this is a person who I greatly respect and admire. And I don't think that Lisa needs much of an introduction, but just for formalities, let me just tell you a little bit about her. Lisa is known and loved around the world as a medium and clairvoyant with a pretty amazing ability to communicate with those who have passed on to the other side. Born in England, Lisa was discovered by Merv Griffin and introduced to audience through two seasons of her own show, Lisa Williams, Life Among the Dead, along with Voices from the Other Side and Lisa Williams Live. All three shows are currently airing around the world. Lisa is the author of Life Among the Dead, and her latest book, The Survivor of the Soul, which is one that we're going to be discussing this evening. She's also appeared on Oprah, Good Morning America, Larry King Live, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and she currently tours and performs in front of large audience all around the world, and also hosts her own weekly radio show on Hay House Radio, as if she isn't busy enough. So I just want to direct you all on over to Lisa's website, which is lisawilliams.com. While you're listening to the show, there's so much to explore there, because right now I'm going to bring Lisa onto the show. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I am wonderful. Hey, I got to tell you, you've got some fabulous new pictures. I just love them.
Well, you know what? You change your image, you kind of have to do new pictures. The short, spiky hair is no longer, and I've just changed it all up. So thank you so much.
Well, they're beautiful, lovely, lovely pictures. And I don't know if you just continually have a suitcase packed, because I know that you just got back from a major being gone, but I'm looking at what's upcoming for you, and you have the Mind, Body, and Spirit Expo in New Jersey, the Mishka Celebrate Your Life in Illinois in June, Machu Picchu even, Philly in July, Norway in September, Australia in November. Lisa, do you ever unpack your bag?
You know, it's quite interesting. A lot of people ask me that, and I have to say, I used to have a bag packed all the time. I used to come home and switch bags and then go off again. But now it's not so bad because, obviously I'm not on the road like I used to be. I'm trying to do it in blocks now, but I am the packing queen. I should seriously have my own line of luggage because I know what works best. I know how to pack. Oh, yeah, it's incredible.
It's a skill. It's a gift.
It is.
It's a gift
to
not have.
Totally.
I always pack those stuff that end up looking so wrinkled, and you're like, why did I pack that?
You know, I know.
It's all in what you buy. I wanted to ask you, because I know that you were in Christchurch. Weren't you there just before the earthquake?
Yeah, we were. And, you know, it was such, it was really traumatic, actually, because, I was traveling with Holly, and she said to me that I feel like there's going to have another earthquake. And we knew something was going to happen. And then 4 days later, the earthquake hit. And it was just devastating to know that all the places that we'd been to had been just demolished. And, you know, even people that we spoke to, I sat there and wondered about, you know, the sales girl who sold me some makeup, how she was, if she was still there. You know, all of these things run through your head, if the theater staff were okay. And so it is devastating, and it really did have an impact on us all.
I imagine it did. That must have been very difficult for
you.
Yeah,
it was.
I know I read you wrote a blog about that. And that's, you know, one thing I just want to tell all of our listeners, that Lisa really blogs on a regular basis. And, you know, I have to give you a lot of credit for sharing a lot of your own personal experiences, you know, putting yourself out there and, you know, helping us to learn through your experiences. And her blog is really a wonderful thing to read. And, again, that's on lisawilliams.com. You know, I received quite a few emails from people that adore you. They met you at events, and they can't say enough nice things about you. And so I just want to say that, you know, I don't know if you realize how appreciated you are. I have a lot of guests on my show, but I, you know, to get a barrage of emails, like, I'm so excited. I think it's great. You know, she's so wonderful. I met her here. Aww. She was so sweet to me. So I think you should know just how much you're loved, and I hope you realize that.
I do, and, you know, it's really lovely, and, you know, I get some amazing comments on my blog, and I get some, I've got some amazing members who I just adore, and, you know, I think the one thing that I've always stood by, and the, you know, the message that I've had to give out is you keep it real. You treat people in the way that you would want to be treated, and you try to just give everything, and, you know, there was a time where I used to blog every single night, and I used to also, you know, my work was my focus. Now my family life, you know, Charlie has become, you know, my family life has become my absolute focus. But that's not to say I'm not there for my, you know, my members or everything else. And, you know, I think it's really, really important to just, you know, be accessible and just be down to earth and normal. And that's exactly how I want to be.
Yeah, I think that's a really good description, is down to earth. I think that really embodies, you know, how I see you, is being just, you know, very real. And I think people really connect to somebody that's authentic and somebody that has a lot of integrity. And I think you really do show that, Lisa.
Thank you. You
know, apparently everybody appreciates that as well. And I got to tell you, I feel like I've spent the whole day with you, because you know, I was waiting and waiting to get a hold of, I ordered your book through Amazon, and of course it wasn't released until just recently, and so I, between my own schedule, when it finally did arrive, I think I've only had it for a week, so I was trying desperately to finish up your book today so I could interview you. So it almost felt as though I spent the whole day with you, because I was reading it. And I really got to say, you know, I read your other book, and I found that this one was somewhat of a departure, in the sense that I love the aspect of this being a very much a book that taught even me things. And, you know, someone who's read a lot of books, you know, I was really fascinated with a lot of the information. And I really appreciated, you know, your sharing this, because I feel one of the things I feel really strongly about is in our society, we don't address crossing over or death. It's a taboo. We don't talk about it. And people have so many questions. And I think it's really wonderful that this whole book just pretty much has anything you ever wanted to know. And I also got to say, when I read the part that said that you're going to be doing Do You Want to Know Everything series, which I'm assuming there's going to be more books to come, I got cold chills. I was like, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. So I always said that you're the teacher.
Well, you know, a lot of people have, you know, have basically said to me all along throughout my life that I am the teacher. In so many ways. And, you know, it's been something that I also trained to do, because years and years and years ago, they said, oh, you know, you're going to be teaching, you're going to be teaching, you're going to be teaching. And this was many, many psychics, many gifted people. And I didn't realize in what context. So, of course, I trained as a teacher. You know, the last thing I want to do is teach kids, you know, in a school environment. But it was something that I thought, wow. And I think The Survival of the Soul is the first of many books, because my catchphrase is, do you want to know everything? Because I don't hold anything back. And I think really there's so many things that are out there that I can share through spirit, and I can actually get the messages across. And so really, you know, that's the reason why I chose that title of Do You Want to Know Everything? And this was just the first book of The Survival of the Soul.
Mm-hmm. So there'll be a series, there'll be more books, and I think, yeah, I'm very excited about that. I do want to say that, you know, we know everyone knows I'm a numerologist, and you're a nine life path, and the absolute definition for that is spiritual teacher. You know, that's the definition of what a nine is. And also it's, you know, amazing that international is very much associated with that number, go figure. So, you know, and what I loved about the book is well, I can't even begin to start, but that there is a plan, that we have a plan, and that our souls work this out and what our souls want to learn in the lifetime, and we plan out these experiences, and that's so, you know, I feel that there's so many different ways to get the information, you getting it through, and it's amazing that you did this differently, that you channeled a lot of this information as well, right, Lisa?
Mm-hmm, I did. And, you know, the reason is of course, I've done a lot of readings in the past, and I've done a lot of, you know, channeling. And I've also had my own near-death experience. But I really found that I should write directly from the source. I should write with from my guides and then interpret it or channel it and really... You know, so if Ben or Ariel or you know, Josiah was actually talking and giving me some information, those were the guides that I was working with at the time, were giving me information. Therefore, I needed to maybe translate it for the readers and, you know, to give examples and back it up with actual factual readings that were given.
Exactly.
And so I found it was easy.
Right, because you would... They would tell you the channeled information, and then just from your own experiences and from a reading, you would share with the readers, you know, how you could apply that information to, you know, that particular reading you did for someone, which was amazing. But what I loved about it is that, you know, for me, when I look at a numerology chart, that is that's the plan. That's the plan written out more or less in numbers. That's what your soul contract is, and hidden within that information and those numbers is these experiences. And the whole book kind of validated for me what I've come to know as my truth through what I do. So I that was one part that really, you know, made me over the moon about the book. I really enjoyed reading it. Now, what was your motivating factor for wanting to choose this particular subject and write another book?
I think the motivating factor was actually it's probably one of the most common questions I get asked in interviews, in, you know, private readings, in anyone who meets me who finds out what they do. They say, "So what does happen when we die?" And I'm like, this is a big subject. And so that's one of the reasons why I wrote it. And the reason why I wrote it in the way that I did is I wanted people to really look at it and say, okay, now there's no reason for me to be scared of passing. I wanted people who maybe, you know, who know that they're going to pass at some point, you know, maybe because they're ill or there's, you know, there's something going on, that I really wanted them to see what the, you know, understand what the passing transition was like. I also wrote it with those people who had lost somebody in mind, you know, those people who are grieving. And I wanted them to really understand the process that was actually happening and how that it's okay to grieve, but it's also okay to know that our loved ones are fine and well and they're happy and dandy and everything's going on. And so that's one of that's the motivating factor behind it. And I try to keep it simple. I try to keep it... We don't live in a very linear world, you know, nothing's very, you know, plain and simple, but I tried to keep it that way so people would be able to understand it and really get to grips with it.
Right. Well, it's kind of interesting that you said that, because as I was reading the book, you know, last night a neighbor stopped by, and we hadn't seen her for a good part. Of course, it's winter here in the East. Most of us don't go out in the winter, but anyhow... You know, she was out walking her dog, and we found out that her husband, you know, they have hospice coming, that he has sclerosis of the liver, and he doesn't have that lung. And, you know, I talked to her about, you know, her own emotions, and I also spoke, you know, how he was dealing with it. And I got to thinking that when I was finished with the book that maybe I'd take it down and see if he wanted to read it, because I thought it might be really helpful at this time, because she said that, you know, he was... You know, talking about that a lot. So I can see where this would be the kind of book that if someone did have a terminal illness and was kind of facing, you know, the inevitable, that this might be a book that would give them certainly comfort, I think.
Yeah, I think it would. And, you know, that's the reason why I looked at it. And I've had so many people who have read it and were struggling to move on from, you know, maybe a passing, someone who was struggling to move on in life just because maybe they had a setback or they felt a failure. And I really... They read the book and they said, you know what, wow, I didn't realize I chose this life. I didn't realize that I had to go through these things. I didn't realize that this was the reason, you know, now I know my life's journey. And then it also brings the question as to why did I choose this life path? What is my, you know, what is my purpose? And, you know, I think when people read the fact that we have to go through the pain and suffering that we've caused other people, I think that also will give a lot of other people maybe a bit of a wake-up call, hopefully, to live their life in the right way. And understand that it is something that we all have to take responsibility for.
So one question I think, Lisa, that most people would wonder is why do you have to come to the physical? Why do you have to come and be incarnated and live in the physical in order to learn these things? When obviously, even in your book, you know, there's learning centers and there's healing centers and there's various different places that you go once you cross over. Why can't we learn it all there? Why do we have to keep doing it in the physical?
You know, sometimes it's because we have to go through the physical aspect, so we need to feel it. And as a spirit, we can feel, in the physical body, our soul is trapped within this vessel. Let's call it the vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, we as a soul may understand something, but when we're put into a human form and put into a vessel, you know, we actually have to have these physical, experiences, for want of a better word, to actually really get to grips with it. We may understand. It's like, for instance, I'm trying to make it very simple. It's like, for instance, we may know something, but actually doing it is something different. It's like we may know how to work out the math problem, but actually doing it and sitting there going, oh my gosh, it's different. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
By putting ourselves into the physical, we have to learn the lessons. So what actually happens is we have lessons to learn, and we have things that we have to go through. We have, you know, difficulties that we have to face. Because if we don't face them in the physical, then how can we help somebody, you know, as a spirit, as a soul, because then, therefore, we don't understand what they've gone through physically. You know, if we're trying to help somebody, so for instance, if we our destiny is to go on and be a spirit guide, we have to experience every difficulty, every issue, every, you know, problem or certain things in our lifetime to actually help somebody else.
Right, and we plan all this stuff ahead of time.
Absolutely.
Right, but then why is it that everyone that I ever read for says, I'm not coming back, I don't want to come back?
You know what? A lot of people say to me, I now realize that, you know, I don't want to use the word heaven and hell, but I now realize that this is the hell that people talk about. And I'm like, you know what? It's not the hell. It's a state of mind.
Sure.
And
sure.
Actually, if we want to think that it is, then you create your thoughts. And so, you know, it's quite interesting. But, you know, I just believe that as long as you're a good person, and, you know, you realize that things are happening for a reason and that there is a lesson in everything,
sure.
Then it's easy to accept. Of course, there are tragic events that, you know, we often sit and go, what is the lesson in this?
But sometimes don't you think, Lisa, though, that some events happen in our lives just to help us to achieve our destiny? Through that particular experience, it might put us off in a direction of where our soul wanted to be. You know, like an example that I use quite often is I just very, very randomly was seated next to a young man on a plane, and
he asked what I was, what I did, and I said numerology. And then just in, because we had a long flight ahead of us, we started in, you know, I started doing it for him just to entertain ourselves. And, you know, I turned to him because he had some numbers in the chart that were really would reflect addiction. And I said to him, what were you addicted to? And he looked at me rather surprised, and he then he revealed to me that he literally had an addiction to crack, and he had really messed up his life for 5 years. And then he also revealed to me that he was going to school and studying addictions counseling, and that that's what he was going to dedicate his life to, was to help other people that were addicted. So sometimes when you look at something that looks to be complete adversity, actually it's what the soul sought, I think, to experience in order to go on and achieve their destiny. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And, you know, I always say it's like that in, you know, in someone's passing. You know, for instance, we can never understand why a child would pass. However, you know, that mother, that grieving mother, will take the pathway or the journey to, I don't want to call it recovery, but the pathway to healing. They'll never get over that void that is in their life. But what will happen, and I've had it in many, many occasions, is that soul, that child came into the earth plane for a particular reason. It was their job. It was their, you know, it was their, they were placed there. And they knew that they were going to pass early. And they were placed there to help maybe their parents, their friends, their loved ones, whoever it may be. And therefore, through their passing, that mother on her own journey of healing will then help another mother, will then help somebody else, will then go on to be maybe a grief counselor. And so it really can be such a healing experience. But again, it's how you look at it. It's what you bring out of it.
Sure.
And I think that's also the way we have to look at things.
Right. Even in relationships, I think sometimes you have, you know, they say you have to kiss a few frogs in order to find the right relationship.
Totally.
I mean, right. And then if you're in a relationship that's abusive, or where somebody is mean to you, or you're not fulfilled through the relationship, certainly I would think that that would teach you what you don't want in life, okay?
Completely.
So that when you choose your next relationship, you're going to choose a little bit wiser and a little bit better. So I think that there's a lot that we look, and I think perspective is everything. And I think what you said about, if you understand that everything happens for a reason, and you try to look to see what am I learning from this experience, and what is this teaching me, or how is this making me smarter or wiser, I think that that makes the whole experience easier to overcome and move forward, move on from it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, I've had many, many situations in my life where I thought, wow, why is this happening to me? And a lot of people say to me, why haven't you buckled? Why haven't, you know, you fought cancer, you were homeless, you know, you had an abusive husband, all these things. You know, why really haven't you buckled? And I'm like, you know what, because there's a lesson for it. You know, there's a lesson in so many situations that we have, and it's how we cope, it's how we deal with things. You know, yes, you can get stressed, but that stress isn't going to achieve anything. It's how you create it into a positive.
Sure,
and that's really what this book is trying to help people understand, is that there's a reason for everything, and it's just how we deal with it.
Right. I think one of the things that was surprising to me was you addressed suicide, and I think it's the first time that I ever read that some souls actually choose as part of their path to commit suicide, because it is not so much a lesson for them, but perhaps the people in their lives, because, we put people in our lives for a reason. Sometimes we're their teachers, and sometimes we plan these things to help each other. And that was the first time I think I ever read anything to that. I was wondering if you could, you know, address that for a moment, because I know a lot of people get very emotional and very upset when it comes to suicides. They think that that soul will not go to heaven, or they think that what I should have done something to prevent it. And I think that it's a very healing thing to realize that some souls actually plan a suicide. So would you mind just talking a little bit about that?
No, I mean, actually, it's a good thing, because I think suicides are this, you know, from what I've experienced, really, throughout doing my readings for however many years, is suicide's not spoken about. It's all like, hush hush, you know, my you know, they say my son passed, and then you say, oh, you know, how did it happen? Oh, well, he was misunderstood. I'm like, okay, fine. It's okay to say it was a suicide. It's okay. And, you know, I think people just kind of brush it under the carpet. Well, actually, you know, there are some souls who are troubled, and they've come back. And, you know, I know that in a past life I committed suicide, which is something I addressed in a book. And also in this life, I've contemplated suicide twice. And so, you know, I shared that experience with the readers because I think it was important to address suicide and actually to bring it out and to say, it's okay, you know, it happens. It's actually very common. And it is somebody's life purpose. You know, that soul has decided to come back, and that soul may have held on to past emotions, may be a troubled soul, may have to go through these experiences because their next journey is to help so many other people, and so therefore they have to experience the hardship, experience the feeling of like, oh my God, it's tough, I'm not understood. And so therefore the process of the suicide is also a learning curve, not only for the soul that has come back that is troubled, or and I don't want to use troubled soul as in, you know, they're troubled. It's just a way maybe what society considers it. But it's, you know, that soul has had difficulties, and therefore they're saying, okay, it's my time's up. But it was also planned. Some suicides are planned. Some suicides are, you know, there. It's like, okay, now my time is up. This is when I'm going to go. Like, for instance, those ones where, you know, they reach out. It is this moment of, oh my God, I need something. That desperation, that accident, that overdose that shouldn't really have been an overdose. It was just a cry for help that ends up as a suicide. Those are the ones that are planned. You know, it's because there's a lesson in it. The journey maybe for the parents, for the friends, for the soul. And so it's a journey. And so really, you know, we can't think that suicides go to hell, because they don't, because there isn't a hell, you know, it's, and they don't go to a negative place. They're still cared for, they're still loved, because actually their soul may have had certain issues and things, difficulties in this period of lifetime that they're in, but they were good people and good souls. And so that's what I addressed in the book. And I think, you know, I read many, many books about, you know, as just research, what was out there. And I read many books, and very few address the subject of suicide. So I went, you know what? Do you want to know everything? So here it is, and right. That's why I addressed it.
And I think that's a really important thing, because like you said, that's the sort of thing that people don't address, or that they don't talk about, or, you know, tends to be something that's a little bit more taboo. And I think I really appreciated the fact that you spend so much time, and even sharing your own experience. I think so much of the book, I was like when you're talking about, especially healers, yourself, and that your work, or certainly in the waking hours, through your work, healing people through your readings, but also in your sleep time, Lisa, as if you don't work hard enough, you know. And I was reading about that, and then, you know, It kind of reminded me of a dream that I had back with 9/11. And, of course, I live in Pennsylvania, and, you know, one of the planes crashed here in Pennsylvania. And I remember having a dream the night of 9/11, and I was standing on the balcony of my deck, which is kind of like very high up in the trees almost. And I remember saying to my husband, you know, I have to go. And he said, yeah, I know you do. And I said, okay, well, I'll be back later. And I flew off the deck, and my destiny, or where I was going, was to that plane wreck. And I remember waking up in the morning going, God, that was the most bizarre dream. But yet I was so tired for like days and days and days afterwards. I was so tired. And then when I read that in the book, you know, that there, sometimes people, such as yourself, and there's a lot of healers out there, that you do work even in when you leave your body in sleep state.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, I find that it's like, you know, before I came to the earth plane in this incarnation, it was my contract. I it was my contract to actually help as many people. And so therefore my soul has to help those people connect with their loved ones. And sometimes I have to do it through dreams. Sometimes I have to do it through, you know, my sleep state. And I actually talk about a situation where I went off. And because I didn't believe that I did, I honestly.
Oh yeah, that was.
Ben,
so awesome.
Are you sure I'm doing this? And he's like, I'm gonna. I said, I just want one thing. I want to remember. I'm like, he's like, okay, sure. So I remember helping this guy. You know, the and everyone thought it was a suicide. It wasn't really. And I do remember just connecting with this woman in my dreams, and then she come up to me in a show and went, "You were in my dreams." Like, oh my gosh, I remember. And it's an incredible story.
That validated that you were working with people. Yeah.
Totally. And also, I had it where my, you know, where I was literally coming back into my body. And my partner woke up and they were like, "Where did you just go?" I went, I didn't get up and go to the bathroom at all. I'd been in bed. And they're like, no. I know. I saw you coming back into your body. It's like, no. And so it's like they actually saw me, my soul coming back into my body. So yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that was a really, really, really interesting story. So there's, I mean, you share so much in the book on so many different levels, from personal experience, from your readings, what your guides gave you as far as information about the afterlife, and especially when you get into the chapters about what is it like in the afterlife, in the various different stages that a soul goes through, and it's really a fascinating book. But I'm going to put the conversation on hold just for a minute, Lisa, because I know that I heard a beep, which kind of means that one of our listeners has called into the show. And so before I take the call, I just want our listeners to know that, you know, if you have a question, like maybe you've read the book and maybe you have a comment or question for Lisa, maybe you've met Lisa, had a reading from her, or have a general question about mediumship, psychic development, I mean, she can pretty much answer any question. Lisa certainly would be happy to say hello to you and answer your questions, but we're not going to be doing any readings this evening, okay? So just if you're calling in, just make sure you've got a question. So I'm going to take my caller. And I know that you're sitting there and probably not realizing that I'm talking to you, but caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hi there. Who's this?
Oh, hi. My name's Kristen.
Hi, Kristen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. Do you have a question for Lisa?
Am I allowed to ask a life question, like with my career?
She's not doing readings this evening, but I think if you could ask her, I think that maybe if you tell her that you're somewhat confused about what your life purpose is, I'm pretty sure she could give you some really good advice.
Am I allowed to ask a past life question?
You know
what?
Well,
why don't you just talk to Lisa.
Let's just see where it goes. Let's just see
where
it goes.
Okay, see
where it goes. Okay, so what's your question?
I am going to school for an STNA, and I was just going to ask you if you see me passing the test right away.
Okay, I don't even know what an STNA is. I'm sorry.
Me either. I'm lost.
It's a state-tested nursing assistant.
Okay, I'm so glad you said that because I was thinking she's in nursing. I was thinking she's in nursing. Okay, well, you see, here's the thing. This is what I was. I was seeing you in nursing. I was seeing you, you know, your career in nursing. But it also felt like there might be. I'm not doing readings, but this psychic stuff is pretty easy. But it really did feel like that you were going into nursing, but there'll be a change of direction in your career, almost as though, you know, you'll study nursing, but then go on to maybe a little bit of a branch out from nursing. Because for whatever reason, I don't know why, but I felt as though there was going to be change in circumstances, which has got something to do with maybe a family member. But it really did feel like you were actually, I felt either you were struggling or you were taking on a lot of pressure. Maybe there's a lot of pressure from friends or family, but I felt someone was putting some pressure on you. And it's almost like you need to say, do you know what, just let me focus on what I need to focus on, and then I'm going to come back and deal with you or whatever's going on. Because, you know, you will pass this. Now it's up to you whether we all have a free will. This is what we have to understand, is that we all have free will. And if you said to her, if you said to the friends and family, look, please let me deal with this on my own, and ask them for some space, then you can focus and you can pass. But if you're not the strong enough character to say, I need some space, and you say, okay, you'll deal with the pressure and you'll deal with the pressure of your exams, there will be some difficulties. So it depends on how you want to deal with that, okay? But I do see you actually passing it and going off in the direction that you want to go in.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Good luck.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. I just want to take a moment, and I just want to refer everybody again to Lisa's website, which is lisawilliams.com. And, you can become a member of Lisa's website, and they have chat rooms and a message board, and you can ask all kinds of questions, and Lisa interacts there, which is really wonderful. But also, if you're looking to order the book Survival of the Soul, you can get the information there on her website. There certainly is the blog. Lisa, you also do healings for people, which I think is a really wonderful thing. I know you're a Reiki master, and I know that people can literally email you, and you'll put them in, you do healings for people, and I think that's a really beautiful thing. That's on her website as well. You can email her. So again, that's lisawilliams.com. And you also have an online store. I was looking at some of the jewelry, the I Believe ring and necklace and stuff, and that's pretty awesome. And T-shirts, I might add. That's really fabulous, Lisa. I love your website.
Oh, thank you. You know, I actually love my website, and I have to tell you, I kind of do most of the pages and updates on my own. So,
do you really? Wow.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a techie geek. And,
are you really?
Yeah, wow. And at the beginning of this show, I started to comment on my member site. I'm going live on air, I like to lurk in the background of my website, but I'm very much on it. I look at it. In fact, I updated it today. You know, I just like to be very much part of it and focused. So I think it's important to have that personal touch in there.
Right. Well, I love it. Actually, I became a member not so long ago.
Oh.
I absolutely wanted to get in and start reading some of the message boards and stuff. I kind of missed that. I hadn't had much time to do that, but I became a member. I haven't been on it that much, but I was very curious about that aspect of your website.
Yeah, no, I love doing it.
Right, and also you can keep abreast of all of Lisa's events as well on her website. She certainly is a busy person, but you ought to be able to find her somewhere close to you. Now, I know that we got another caller, so I'm just going to go ahead and take my next caller. So who's calling, please?
My name is Sally.
Hi, Sally. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Do you have a comment
and
or a question?
Lisa, I love your website, too.
Oh, thank you, Sally.
You're just so welcome. I was wondering about my life's purpose.
Okay. You know, it was quite interesting. Do you ever find that people offload their problems to you and, you know, you're constantly maybe in touch with a lot of people who need some advice, or you're always helping someone?
Yes, and feel like I'm put in the middle sometimes of things, yes.
Yeah, because, you know, I feel that you're the natural-born healer. And, you know, we all have a purpose in life, and some of us will go on and do spiritual work like myself. Some people will just be that, you know, the person who is there for everybody, and they might just be a housewife, but then they have a huge circle of friends, and you're always the person that they turn to. And to me, it just feels as though you've got a good head on your shoulders, and that your purpose in life is really to help people through their struggles and strains. But that doesn't go without its difficulties, because it's almost then you have this situation of, hold on, who's there for me when I go through my struggles and strains? And so, for me, it feels like your life purpose is almost this healing nature. And, you know, you connect so well with people that you really should just say what you get. And sometimes
people think that healing is hands-on, and actually it's not. Healing can be through words, can be through music, can be through art, can be through many, many different forms. And that's where I feel that you excel yourself, you know, through that. So, you know, often you might find that your hands go hot. Do they ever go hot for no reason?
Yes. Yeah. And the first time I noticed that is I was sitting in a I Can Do It in Tampa with you and John.
Uh-huh.
That's and the that first time I ever noticed that.
Well, that is
honestly.
That is when the healing energy is coming through, and it's often the fact that your hands go itchy or they are, you know, they're itchy, they're like really kind of itchy, and it's like, you know, driving you insane. But, you know, that is when the energy is traveling through you. And so, really, I would say to you, stay there and just really listen to people and connect with people, because I really do think that you've got quite a gift there.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
And Allison.
Hi. I think that's so true that people often have the misconception that healing comes from laying your hands on and curing someone from an illness, but healing is on so many different levels, emotional, spiritual. There's so many different levels of healing, and sometimes just someone that's warm, sympathetic, kind, who listens and gives really good advice, someone who nurtures another spirit, that is healing that you know, people are out there doing every single day. So I think
absolutely.
I totally agree with you, Lisa. I do want to ask you, Lisa, because I did notice on your website, so I got really, really curious. What is the app? You have a Lisa's app at the App Store. What does that do?
You know, all it does is connect people to my blog so they can read my blog. They can get updated with new shows that are coming on. They can put themselves onto the healing list. And so, you know, I'm actually looking at updating it. Any ideas are welcome, of course. But, you know, that's what the app is, really. And I think a lot of people, that you know, also my messages from Beyond are on there. And I think a lot of people just want to keep up to date with what's happening. And so I felt that the way to go was, because so many people have, you know, obviously these smartphones now, that it was something that we had to, you know, I had to do and keep up with the times.
Well, I have to get me a cool new phone because my phone doesn't do apps. I'm really my phone is usually buried in my purse. But you
yeah,
know.
Mine is. I have this all singing, all dancing phone, and I haven't even downloaded my emails on there. I use it for text and for phone calls, and then I have all my like cool apps on there, and that's it.
Right. Well, as a matter of fact, you know, when your assistant called me to change the phone number for you tonight, I was running trying to dig my phone out of my purse because she called my cell, and I was like, "Where is it? Where is it?" I have to get a cool new phone. But that's really neat. I'm glad that you've got an app. And I do want to point out that maybe a lot of our listeners don't know, but when Lisa references messages from beyond, Lisa actually, you know, from my understanding, I might have it wrong, Lisa, but you actually post messages on your website of that where you've actually gotten messages, and you don't know exactly who it's for, but it's a very specific message, obviously, with a person's name and what the spirit is saying. I think that's a really nice thing. Did I describe it correctly? I mean, I might not have.
Yeah. No, I mean, a lot of it started off when I was getting these random messages, where before I knew how to switch my you know, switch off from the spirit world. And so I started getting these messages and didn't know what to do with them. And then I would get messages before a show as well, and I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with this? What if it happens if the person isn't in the audience? So I thought, well, let's just post them on the website. And, you know, it's like I was sitting in bed the other night, and I was like, okay, I've got John, and he wants to connect with his sister Linda, da-da-da. And I'm like, okay, and I was doing Sudoku. And so there I am in my Sudoku, writing this whole message down, thinking, I've just got to type this up tomorrow. And so, you know, in my random books or random phone or wherever it is, I've got random messages that are written on post-it notes, and then I end up having to sort of type them up and think, oh gosh, and then they get posted. So yes, some of them are from, you know, my meditations, before a show. Some of them are just random messages that I get in the middle of the night, or also messages that I get as I'm doing my Sudoku.
You get messages from Sudoku, all right.
Yeah,
well.
I know, I do. I'm like, okay, John, stop following me around the house, please. And it got to a point where he said, are you going to listen to me? I'm like, I'm listening, but I've got to work this puzzle out first. He said, I'll wait. I'm like, okay, good.
So you have found your on and off switch, I'm assuming, you know?
Cause yeah.
It's always fascinating with mediumship, like where when you're in like Walmart shopping, I mean, do you have spirits bugging you all the time about the person in front of you? Or, you know, it seems to me you've got to have an on and off switch, or else that can be just a little bit tiring.
Yeah,
so.
I do. And, you know, on the TV show, I used to wear a hat. And, of course, that's very, very visual. But the hat I don't wear all the time. Initially, it starts off to cover a bad hair day, of course. But I found that it worked to block the spirits out. But also, my watch works very well. So all I do is, as long as I've got my watch on, it kind of grounds me, and I don't get bugged. And, you know, today I was viewing a property, you know, thinking about moving, and I took my watch off, and as I'm walking around, I was like, okay, now I can feel the energy. Now I really can see if there's a spirit in the house, or I can feel it. So, you know, there are things that I do to open myself up, of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. That's interesting, a watch.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think one of the things that I read, and I can't remember which book, but it might have been your first book, but I really liked the visualization that you wrote, that whenever you were in, let's say, in a situation where maybe there was a little bit of negative energy and you weren't feeling particularly comfortable, that you would excuse yourself, go in the bathroom, and put on your imaginary purple cloak.
Yes.
I remember that. Was that in the first book?
I think it was actually, was it my first book? I think it's actually in this book, The Survival of the Soul. It might have been at the early stages of this book.
Okay, but I know I read it before this. I knew I read it before
It might have been in the previous book as well, because I know there's some things that have overlapped.
Well, I have to say that I like that so much. I really like that visualization of like, whenever you're around energies and you're like, oh, I just kind of like the shields up, Scotty. I really like that.
Exactly.
I like that. Right.
And I think sometimes you have to, and it's good. It's a good technique for everybody. Sometimes if you're in a situation, you think, gosh, I don't like this person, or there's something about this situation I don't like. It's always good just to excuse yourself, kind of put yourself in this like little bubble of haze or white light or whatever you need to do, and then just ground yourself and then go back in. And I think, you know, it's important for us all to do.
Right. Do you have any idea what, because I know that, like we discussed at the beginning of the show, that you're literally going to write a series kind of after you're saying, do you really want to know everything? Do you want to know everything series? Are you going to write a book about, you know, the psychic development, the protection and all that stuff, you know, something very specific? Or do you have any ideas for your next book?
I do have ideas for my next book, and they're not quite titles, but the subjects that I want to cover. One of them is about soulmates. You know, how we know our soulmate, our soul families, which is something I cover in this book.
Yes.
I also want to cover psychic children. I want to also cover psychic development, and basically how we can really be in tune with our own higher self and our own feelings and our own thought processes, but also that would also cover the protection aspects. So there's a lot of things that I want to address, certainly mediumship as well, what it's really like to connect with the other side, because I didn't explain it in my first book. I certainly haven't explained it in this book. But it's not an easy process to connect with the other side. It can be quite troubling to connect with the other side. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of things that I want to cover in this whole series that will really make people go, wow, I didn't know that.
Well, wonderful. I'm really kind of looking forward to, and not that I want you to work any harder than you already do, but I'll be looking forward to the other books. I know that we have one more caller because we only got a few minutes left on the show, so I'm going to just tell you we got to keep it brief, but I don't want to leave somebody hanging. So
hello?
Who's calling in? Who's this? Hi.
Hello?
Hi. Who's this?
Hi, Allison. This is Ann. How are you?
Good, Ann. How are you?
I am good. I am good. I wanted to ask Lisa or tell her that I feel that I'm becoming more of a clairvoyant person as I'm going through a spiritual healing time, and I don't know if she could give me some insight into some things that I'm kind of going through or experiencing. There are times that I feel that I have been at some intersections where I live, and I feel that my mind goes back to another intersection of a place that I lived as a child, and I feel that I'm there instead of here. And then lately when I close my eyes, and this is not necessarily when I'm asleep, but I could close my eyes and I feel, I see this white light coming through my the side of my face, and I see digits and paper with numbers written on it, and I can't distinguish really what's there, but I'm not sure what the significance of that is.
Well, that's a good question, Lisa.
It is. I mean, thank you, Anne, and hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Thank you, fine.
Good. Okay, so
Did I make any sense at all?
Yes, you did make perfect sense in my world, so don't worry. and I know that we don't have much time, but
yes.
What it feels like to me, Anne, is that you've had, we've all had hard times in our life, but it feels like you've had had some difficulties that you're actually addressing and you're moving through. And what actually happens is when we've really had a difficult patch in our life, quite hard time, traumatic time, some people go one of two ways. They either shut down to this world or they open up. And it feels to me like you're opening up to say, okay, please, just anything, universe, show me what I need to do. And I feel that you're at that point where you've just opened up and said, okay, just show me what I need. I'm not sure if you're going through some legal situations, but it feels to me as though what you're being shown is to do with your work. I don't know whether it's to do with your work, but it's to do with your journey, your work throughout your life. And what they're showing you by going back into those, you know, difficult situations in maybe your childhood is they're showing you how you coped, maybe your coping mechanism, or the fact that you can survive because here you are now. And it's just a reinforcing or a reminder of the fact, you know what, we've all had difficulties, you can get through it. And maybe you're doing it with a lot more strength than what you used to. But what happens is you are starting to uncover the clairvoyant side, because obviously you're seeing things, you're very much visualizing. And what I'm going to suggest that you do, Anne, is meditate. And really, when you're in this meditative zone, just say to, you know, your guide or whoever it may be, show me what I need to know. Give me a sign. Show me what I need to know. Now, sometimes they'll give you what you need to know, not everything that you want to know. And you also have to remember is that if they feel that you cannot cope with a certain thing or a certain situation in your life, they're not going to show you. They're not going to show you, because sometimes you have to experience it without the knowledge prior. And so, you know, I feel that what they're trying to do is guide you through this, through the clairvoyance. So just go with it, you know, just really go with it. But try to meditate on it and try to really sit with it. And you know, they're taking you back into situations that you knew to give you the strength for you to cope.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
Thank you so much.
But I gotta say,
no,
I
know.
Go.
Thank you so much, and have a good evening.
Thank you, honey, for calling. Appreciate it. Oh, Lisa, I don't know how 55 minutes go so fast, but it does.
I know, it goes, doesn't it?
Right. So I just want to tell everybody again that go to lisawilliams.com. The book is Survival of the Soul, and I think you're going to find it to be really a wonderful book and very insightful, and it gives you all kinds of information about the afterlife. And I know that I was absolutely enthralled with it today and learning so much. So thank you for writing it, Lisa, and I'm going to look forward to your other books when they come out.
Oh, you're welcome.
And thanks
for
coming on the show again.
Oh,
I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And I have to say it's been fabulous, but I just want to add those people who are buying the book, I'm actually running a competition at the moment. If they email through proof of purchase to the email that's actually on my website, then they'll be put into a competition to win a free reading with me.
More incentive. incentive. Like they needed any, but even more incentive. All right. Lisa, you have a wonderful evening. And again, our listeners, I know how much they appreciate you being coming on the show.
Thank you.
Really
thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me again.
You're welcome, my dear, and I hope to talk to you again. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into this show. How fabulous. Lisa Williams, how lucky am I? I'll be back again next week, and so in the meantime, I just hope you all have a wonderful week, and I'm wishing you abundant blessings. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.